Let me begin by thanking the people who made this possible, our pretty fantastic Mighty Choir and the Flower Team. I want to thank Amanda Lujan for putting up these images, mostly in anticipation, but in our the Pride Parade at the end of the month, but also in celebration of our congregation as a welcoming congregation. Now, my colleague Aisha spoke to you about the Flower Communion story, how Norbert and Maya Chapek came to be Unitarians, how they came to design the flower ceremony. Being Unitarians, our various congregations have made hundreds of local variations. In the Shaker Heights, Ohio church I grew up in, they always had the Flower Communion the first Sunday in June, and they always had it on the front lawn. Some congregations have it on Easter, some in connection with the youth coming of age, but whatever, it's among the most popular of our rituals anywhere. Why? I think it's so popular because the Chapeks understood Unitarianism deeply and designed the perfect ritual for our youth. Our congregations are made up of many types of people, many varieties of bloom, some effusive, some taciturn, some stand out right away, others take time to notice or to fully appreciate. Some are bold and dramatic, others subtle, complex. A healthy church has every type and room for every kind of person. Whenever flowers are contributed for our services, someone lovingly arranges them with great care, like every week. This is today. The Flower Team is responsible for bringing that to our worship hour every week. And it's also like the lovely revolving art exhibits that I've enjoyed over the course of my 9 months with you. Now, this morning I challenged our Flower Team to quickly throw all the contributions together on the spot and to do it on the double. It's an apt metaphor for our UU communities everywhere, made up as we are of people who join one day and often within a couple of years are congregational, maybe even denominational leaders like the Chapeks themselves. All the gifts of all our members, of course, are of value. Whenever Dr. Chapek conducted his Flower Communion in Prague, he would repeat the following proverb as he consecrated the flowers, which I let go because I thought the choir's song was such a pretty consecration just as it was, but now I'll do it. Infinite Spirit of Life, we ask thy blessing on these thy messengers of friendship and love. May they remind us amid diversities of knowledge and of gifts to be one in desire and affection and devotion to thy holy will. May they also remind us of the value of comradeship, of doing and sharing alike. May we cherish friendship as one of thy most precious gifts. May we not let awareness of another's talents discourage us or sully our relationship, but may we realize that whatever we can do, great or small, the efforts of all of us are needed to do thy work in the world. Amen. So it is that any church, especially a liberal church, with the high tolerance we have for eccentricity, that we allow, indeed celebrate, our churches are somewhat haphazard, thrown together on the fly. Now, some people want this congregation to move more deliberately in this haphazard direction, and some want the church to move the other way. Since I've arrived, the biggest problem, in my estimation, is a certain lack of trust that's around regarding others' motives. And this is accentuated, not among everyone, but among too many, by a habit that you've fallen into of choosing sides on various issues coming before the group for consideration, which is expected, of course, and altogether natural and appropriate, but then hanging on to whichever side you were on, even after the issue itself fades away. That I don't quite understand. So you'll have to help me with that. Because to me, it's just kind of curious. I keep asking myself, why? What's holding people back? Here's what I think. And I've said this to a few people a lot before, but now I'm going to make it explicit, and I'm going to act on it over the next few months. This is a good church. You're a good church. And it has a wonderful, honored history and has been served by many heroic leaders, lay and professional, over the decades. Moreover, you're good people. I haven't met anyone here I don't like or want to get to know better or can't see as and recognize and appreciate as vital members of the congregation and of the whole. But here's what's happened. I think you've been traumatized, seriously traumatized, by the unusually abrupt departures of three skilled and caring ministers in less than 4 years. Joan, Peter, and then Elaine. Now, none of these people, colleagues of mine, were perfect human beings, but they were all three hardworking, with integrity, and I'm proud to do my best to follow them. It's not that these ministers' departures were not timely or well considered. They actually were. It's that they all happened, from the average member's point of view, so suddenly that the minister, whom perhaps you've leaned on while going through a divorce or a death of a spouse or child or during a child's struggle with delinquency or whatever, this person is suddenly just gone. And besides all of that, there are those, or so it seems, who are pleased that this person's gone. And those are wounds that people have, and then they brush it aside because we've got to go on. Now listen, Joan, Peter, and Elaine are strong people. They've all landed on their feet, and they all acknowledge the manifold blessings that have come to them because of and through their ministry here among you, and recognize you as good people whom they are thankful they serve. So let them go. Let them go because they're okay. They really are. And I'm convinced that the actual root of your problem here at ESUC, such as you have one, because I don't want to focus on the problem, but such as there is one, it comes down to unexpressed and mostly repressed grief. And my prescription is taking the time this summer to reflect on, A, the nature of ministry, its virtues, its pitfalls, and the ways that we can really make it shine and that you, as a congregation, can help the minister do their best. As it's happened several times in the long history of this church, you've had some stellar ministries of extraordinary capacity, and you will again. And the three ministries I've just held up had moments of extraordinary grace and strength, too. I want to lead worship services this summer in which I hold up each of my immediate predecessors and honor them respectfully and lovingly and mourn them and let them go. That's step one. Step two, organize collectively to become a radically hospitable church. No holding back. Everybody on board, committing to reaching out to newcomers by trying new ways to reach out. We need to think of the proceeds from the Holly House as a challenge grant, challenging us to use this remarkable opportunity to put our hearts and imaginations and muscles into making ESUC a fantastic church. I will also this summer be co-planning with my colleague Aisha a series of outreach, educational, and social justice efforts to get our name and our profile out there into the community as a beacon of progressivity and fun. Yes, fun. Good, growing congregations have fun together, lots of fun, and that has to be part of our growth plan, too, if it's going to enlist our whole hearts and draw in new ones. Step three, celebrating as we go along, which is part of having heart in the whole thing. This morning we consider ESUC as a garden, kind of an English garden for sure, jumbled and haphazard, kind of wild. Nevertheless, There's room for all kinds of flowers and all kinds of people in this garden, even you and even me. The lay leaders of this congregation are not perfect people, but they're good people trying hard to live up to our UU principles and doing the best they can. And I admire them and respect them all. The budget you raised, the board, the nominating committee members you're about to elect, these are all the product of hard and generous collective efforts. The choirs and other musicians' efforts come forth in song. The board's efforts come forth in the agenda you will no doubt quickly and graciously plow through and vote on shortly, less melodious perhaps. But every bit as important to the life of this congregation as the music programs or meals shared together at potluck suppers and auction-sponsored social events. Other wonderful contributions to the life and outreach of this church include our religious education teachers and volunteers, those who facilitated covenant circles, East Shore Live, and the Right Relations Circles and other restorative practices that help dismantle oppression beginning among and within each of our own, among ourselves and within each of our own hearts. Let us celebrate this morning what you've got going here and the contributions of those who make it possible. And you do. I mean, I always find it amusing as a minister that I have to tell people, you know, you're actually a good church. I mean, it's okay. You know, I know you've got this subdued persona around here, the Northwest, the Seattle Threes and all. So, no. I want you to say it now. You're a good church. Hip, hip, hooray. Hip, hip, hooray. Hip, hip, hooray. And just as we celebrate today's flower communion, rejoicing in the cockamamie melange that is us, flowers of every type, seemingly thrown together on the slapdash, and yet the whole strangely resilient and remarkably beautiful. Each individual blossom wonderful by itself, and yet even more lovely the bouquet as a whole, made up of flowers of every kind, all different and yet all in harmony, unity amid diversity. May it be, may it ever be, and may we be part of it, the best part, today and every day hereafter for years to come. Amen.